Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to have you all here this morning. It's a good class. I want to kind of make a disclaimer first. You'll see that things are a little different up here.
I need to turn a light on so we can see
on the wall. They're in the process of transitioning projectors here in this class, but they didn't quite get it finished last week. So they took out what we had. They haven't got the new one in yet, but I have a promise in writing that it's coming. So you'll have to bear with us this morning. It'll be a little bit strange on the projection. I'd like to have you turn to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to continue in the book of Daniel, and we're going to be looking and studying this morning four verses. It is arguably true that Daniel chapter 9, verses 24, 5, 6, and 7 are probably the most important or the most prominent verses in the book of Daniel as far as prophecy is concerned, and also in terms of the whole panorama of prophecy for the whole Bible. These four verses, I literally have books like this that are written primarily about these four verses. And if you want to go into a library or commentaries, you're going to find multitudes of commentaries on these four verses. And I just want to say right up front, I want you to hear it from my words, I do not have the final answer on these verses. I have studied these for years, and I have struggled with them. I have come to a peace about the overall flow of it, and I want to commit to you, and I want to challenge you that over the next three lessons or so, as we go through these verses, if you will apply yourself and understand these four verses, you will unlock all of prophecy for the whole Scriptures. Now, I know that's a big promise, but I believe with all my heart that it's true. So if you will just focus on these verses, and I know some of this is going to be hard and challenging, but that's okay. I've tried to put it down in words on your sheet, and I've also generated a chart, for those of us that are visually taught. A lot of people can study the Scriptures and learn directly from the words. Other people, like me, like to see charts, like to see it out there in a flow diagram, sort of. So I'm going to give you both of those, and we're going to work through this together. I welcome questions as we go along the way, but just pray that you will dive into this and really give your attention to these next few lessons. So Daniel chapter 9, verses 24, 5, 6, and 7. I need a volunteer to read those verses for us. So if you would be willing to read. Yeah, see, that's actually big there. Okay, so Daniel chapter 9, 24, 5, 6, and 7. Okay, go ahead.
70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for the citizens of my land to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and understand that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of the church. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the Prince, who is to come will destroy the beauty of our sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood, even to the end that there will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the way of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the inspiration that we trust, the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in writing these words. And as we study them, Lord, we pray that you would open our minds, open our understanding, help us to grasp these truths so that we might glory in you, in your promises, in your plan, and just understand that this world is not our final home. We're just passing through, but you have told us exactly what's going to happen. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand and grasp these things this morning and as we go through this study in the weeks ahead. Thank you for everything you do for us. We commit it to you in advance with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump over to a PowerPoint. And we're going to talk a little bit about these verses. We want to kind of get the background here to set the stage in our minds again about verses 24 through 27. But you remember in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we looked at this in our last study, that Daniel, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by the Sanamed, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. This is the start. This is the beginning of Daniel chapter 9, and it is the let's say it's the key that's hanging on the front door to understand this passage. So Daniel is reading scripture. Jeremiah was a contemporary of Daniel, but he happened to live about 30, 40 years ahead of time, and he had given these prophecies, he had written these down, and somehow or other they had found their way to Daniel. Daniel was studying Jeremiah's writings, and when he was studying it, he said, "Wow, I see that we are in a place of fulfillment, and this is the prophecy that he was reading." This is the passage from Jeremiah 29, verse 10. And we believe this is what he was reading. In Jeremiah 29, verse 10, Jeremiah wrote, "For thus says the Lord," this is directly from the Lord, "when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Now, thinking all the way back to Daniel chapter 1, when we started our study, we went through Daniel verse by verse, chapter by chapter. What happened to Daniel in Daniel chapter 1? He was carried off. He was living in Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar came in and just wiped out Jerusalem, massacred thousands of Jews, and some of them were carried off. Daniel was one of those. Okay, so this is the whole panorama, if you will, of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 starts with him being carried off into captivity, and he is toward the end of this time. He's lived there in captivity now. We went through the fiery furnace, we went through Daniel in the lion's den, we went through all those visions. Everything that's in Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. When you come to chapter 9, Daniel has already been there in Babylon, captive, and he's been there for almost 70 years. Okay? He reads this passage in Jeremiah, and he says, whoa, I lived through this. And it's almost coming to an end. So what does that do to Daniel?
Gets him excited.
Right. This is going to end. The Lord says, we're going back. Now, do you think that would be an encouragement to Daniel? I mean, absolutely. So, what does he do? Well, Daniel is visited by Gabriel. That's what happens. He prays, and it says, while I was speaking and praying, and we studied that passage, that was the whole time there, Daniel was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord my God. And while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, this is Gabriel the angel, only two angels identified by name in Scripture, Michael and Gabriel. Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I've come to tell it to you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Everybody got the picture now? He's been in Babylon for 70 years almost. He reads Jeremiah, says, whoa, this is almost over. He's praying for himself. He's confessing his sin. He's confessing the sins of Israel, which is what got them there. And he's begging the Lord to have mercy on them and to forgive their sins and to obviously fulfill his word. So, the next thing is in verse 24a. So this is just verse by verse, linear, exactly as it is written. And in 24a, it says, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city. Now, I just want to say something about interpretation of these of what's coming up here. I've said this before, and I believe it with all my heart, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep on harping on this as we go through it. You cannot interpret these verses other than from a Jewish concept. You must see them from a Jewish perspective. And why do I say that? Look what the very first verse says. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and your holy city. Now, is that New York City?
No.
Is it Rome? No.
Or Washington.
It's none of those things, folks. Sometimes I look at the Bible commentaries, and I just think, you know, they would do well if they would remember this saying. A text without the context is a pretext. If you have something that you're trying to prove, you can go back to this passage and prove almost anything. As long as you discount that. You just have to say, well, that doesn't matter. I'm seeing this as being the church or whatever. It's not the church, folks. Here's a flash for you. The church is not here. Why is the church not here? Because it was what? No. Why is it not here in the prophecies?
It's a mystery.
Because it's a mystery. Remember all that we studied in Romans? It's a mystery. God hid this. He hid the church. He did not disclose the church to the Old Testament saints. None of them saw it. And more importantly, none of the holy or the fallen angels saw it. Satan didn't see it. Because the Bible says, had he seen it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, that's why this is secret. God hid all of this. And if you're going to go back and look at this and say, well, I can see the church in there, then you're doing something that God said you can't do. So we're going to have more insight now than we had than they had in the Old Testament. There's no doubt about that. But don't spend a lot of time looking for the church in here. So 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Okay, all right. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city, and there are six specific things that this decree, this 70 weeks is supposed to accomplish. I didn't break these out in terms on this page and number them, but if you go back to the worksheet on Daniel, the lesson number 15, down there at the bottom, I have broken out each one of those six verses for the purpose of the 70 weeks for Israel. So, what is the first one that is supposed to be accomplished in this time? Just look at that. Just look at the sentence here. I'm not changing anything. This is right out of the scripture. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people, Jews, your holy city, Jerusalem, and in order to do what? Number one, finish the transgression. Okay. What transgression is that? Let me back up. Whose transgression is that?
Israel's.
All right. We're there because it's about Israel. And what has Israel transgressed? They've refused to keep the law. They refused to keep the Sabbath. They refused until finally God said, "You're out of here." And he removed them from the land for 70 years. Okay? Daniel sees in the book of Jeremiah that at the end of 70 years, they're going to go back. And what he thinks is, that's going to finish it. And Gabriel comes to him and says, "Daniel, it's not going to be at the end of 70 years that it's finished. It's going to be at the end of 70 weeks. Everybody got it? Daniel is looking at the end of 70 years, and he thinks that's going to do it. And God says, "No, Daniel, the transgression of Israel is going to be finished after 70 weeks. Now, we're going to study that more. So it's a transgression of Israel. I believe that it's the only thing that fits the context of this passage. It is likely then that it ends Israel's transgression. Now, for those of you who have studied scripture and studied prophecy before, when does that happen for Israel? When does the transgression finish and they go back to their land and they live there in righteousness in the land of
end of the tribulation.
At the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the millennium? That's when the Jews return to their land. That's when they, when Paul says they are all saved, every living Jew on the planet at that time is going to be saved. They're going to go back to their land. The transgression is going to be finished. Mark?
So even in this age that we're in now, Israel is still under punishment for not keeping the Sabbath.
Yep.
Thousands of years ago.
Yep.
What was the question?
Mark said that even now in this age, Israel is still under punishment for not accepting the commandments that were in place all the way back here. And the answer is yes. Paul says that God has given them a stupor that they would just ignore the truth. Bill?
How does the reestablishment of the nation of Israel fit?
That's a very good question. Bill has asked, how does the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in May of 1948, how does that fit? And the answer is, prophetically, it doesn't seem to. from a practical standpoint, I think for us it says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I see that. I see the establishment of Israel as a nation in 48. I see it as a huge deal. It's been literally thousands of years that they've been scattered all over the earth. But prophetically, I don't see a time of prophecy that talks about that. So, good question. Don't have a good answer for it. What's the second thing? First is to end the transgression of Israel. What is the next one? Make an end of sin. And if you look at Daniel's prayer, he prays that the Lord would forgive him of his sins and Israel of his sins. And when this says to make an end, it means to wrap it up and finish it. So it'll be done. It'll be done. This is talking about, this isn't anything that's happened yet. Not for Israel, but it's going to happen. What's the next one? To make atonement for sin. The word atone means to cleanse, to purge, or to pardon. So again, for the nation of Israel, this has not happened. Is it available to them? Yes. But has the nation accepted it? No. But is it going to happen? Yes. That's what this prophecy is talking about. This prophecy says for Israel, yes, it is going to happen. It's going to make an atonement for iniquity. How do we bring in everlasting righteousness? When does that happen?
Millennium.
In the millennium. Millennium comes in. Christ is seated on the throne in Jerusalem. He rules and reigns over the whole earth, and the whole earth is filled with his righteousness. One of the Old Testament prophets says, nobody is going to go to their neighbor and say, do you know the Lord? Because everybody knows the Lord. The millennium is going to be such a beautiful time. And it's going to seal up. And that means to wrap up, to finish, to close. To seal up what? Vision and prophecy. This is as far as Israel is concerned. After this event happens, after the end of the 70 weeks is completed, there's going to be no more prophecy for Israel. Why? Because it's done. It's done. They're in the millennium, and they're going to go right on into eternity, and they're going to serve Christ with their whole heart. And what's the last one? You're going to anoint the most holy. Now, there's a whole lot of struggle on this one. Because in the Hebrew, you'll notice in this translation, this is a New American Standard. In this translation, it says the holy place. It is possible for that word to be translated the holy one, which would mean Christ, or the holy place. It is not determinate, and I've looked at all kinds of linguistic scholars, and they're all divided. Both of those can be proved, can be demonstrated from other passages. So I think the proper one is in Ezekiel 43. We have not studied this before. I kind of avoid Ezekiel. Because if you think Daniel's hard. But in Ezekiel, there is a lengthy description. It spawns 40 through 48. It spawns 8 or 9 chapters in the book of Ezekiel. And it's all about the rebuilding and the reestablishing of the temple during the millennium, and that temple has got to be cleansed. Remember all the stuff that we looked at when we studied the tabernacle, how there was a process, there was a ceremony, kind of a coronation, if you will. So they go in and they sacrifice and they sprinkle blood on the altar and all that kind of, that's all described in Ezekiel 40 through 48. And I believe that what this is talking about is anointing the most holy place, because It's the Holy of Holies that is going to be in Jerusalem during the millennium period. Doc?
One of the things you have up there, right up there, and it talks about sin.
Right.
You know, when I came here today, I went faster than the speed.
And they didn't get you.
When I turn around and I look at all the people in Fort Wayne in the last couple of weeks who have lost their lives, and I turn around and I say, okay, so what is sin? You know, I really would like a pastor sometime to talk about sin.
Well,
I have a problem with that. So if you would help me, I would appreciate it.
Well, I could talk about sin, but it would significantly digress from our study here this morning. Sin is a transgression against God, and it is sin. It literally means to miss the mark. So, what is going to happen here? And the important part of this to make an end of sin is the nation of Israel had been sinning and is continuing to sin, but when this happens, the Lord is going to wrap it up and it is going to be totally complete for Israel. We're not talking about Gentiles here, we're talking about Israel. So sin is a transgression of God's commandments, and what's going to happen here is Israel is going to line up and they are going to obey unquestionably. All Israel will be saved and they will... they will abide by his requirements during the millennium. So, 70 weeks have been decreed, and then there are six things that are going to be accomplished during that 70 weeks. Now, is everybody comfortable with this? Because you have to have this. And then we're going to keep building on this. But if you miss some of the first pieces, the rest of it is going to be a jumble. So, everybody comfortable here?
Yes.
Okay. So, this next thing that he says, this is Gabriel saying, so you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, I've numbered these. 1, 2, and you'll see them on down through here. There are 9. And I've numbered these because these are specific elements that are trigger points in this prophecy that you need to understand as to how to unfold the prophetic events here. So the first thing is that 70 weeks are determined. We have to understand what 70 weeks are. We'll do that in a minute. But we do know that, according to number 2, Gabriel said to Daniel, you need to know, you need to understand, and discern means to think about it. You need to think about it, then here's the trigger that starts everything. Okay? This is the trigger event that starts the 70 weeks. It is the what? Issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Washington. Why is it Jerusalem? Because this is all about your people and your holy city. Everybody got it? This has nothing to do with us, folks. This is about Israel and the Jews. And so you are to know, Daniel, and you're to think about this, that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that's what triggers everything. So what is that decree defining? From that point, until what? Until the Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How much is 7 weeks plus 62 weeks?
69
weeks. So that's got 69 out of 70. That leaves one dangling out there, okay?
He's numbers correspond to your chart?
Yes, yes. Okay. These numbers that I'm putting on here are strictly mine, 1, 2, 3, and as we come to the chart, I'm going to put those numbers on the chart, on the flow chart, so you can correlate each point on the chart with what this scripture verse talks about. So let's put that one together. What does that say? When the command is issued, and the command is to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, and by the way, there's multitudes of opinions about this, bro, and I'm not going to go into all that, but I'll show you what the right answer is. From the point that that command goes out until the Messiah comes is going to be what? 69 weeks. Now, if we only knew what a week was, and we knew when that command went out, we would know when Christ comes, right? And all God's people said, ah, this is getting better. Okay, so for that trigger point until Messiah the Prince comes, and then it says, it will be built again. Now, what is the it?
Jerusalem.
It's a reference back. It's not a he, it's an it. It will be built again with plaza and moat in troublesome times. If you want to read about the troublesome times, read the book of Nehemiah. There's a book that was written that is called The Sword and the Trowel. And it's a book, it's a fiction book, but it's written about the book of Nehemiah. And when Nehemiah took the king's command and went back to Jerusalem to rebuild it because it had been leveled, desecrated, just messed up. He said, I'm going to rebuild. And they had this guy named Sanballat who was after them all the time. I mean, he would attack them while they were building the wall. So they had to literally build with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. That's the definition of the sword and the trowel. And if that is not a definition of in troublesome times, I don't know what is. It is clearly a picture of what was happening to the nation of Israel as they were trying to rebuild that. Now, the 69 weeks have just been contiguous. Just 7, 62, together. But now it says, what? After. Doesn't say how long after. Could be a day. Could be a week. Could be years. Could be centuries. All we know is that after the 62 weeks, and what happened at the 62 weeks? The Messiah came. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Here's a thing that is very interesting about that word, cut off. The word cut off is a word in Hebrew that literally was reserved for criminal execution. It was a term that was used to describe when a nation executed capital punishment for an offense. So, look what this says. After the 62 weeks, when he comes to Israel, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be what? Not just cut off, but executed. Executed as a criminal. Now, you and I that have the New Testament in our hands, we can look back at that and say, oh, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. The Roman government executed him as a criminal. And he will have nothing. Buried in a borrowed tomb, executed in ridicule before the world. Daniel saw this, and I don't know, he didn't understand it, I'm sure, But anyone who, even as a Jew, would look at this would say, this doesn't make sense to me, because they're not expecting their Messiah to come and be executed. They're expecting what? Their Messiah to come and set up the kingdom. They're not expecting this. This comes to the Jew like a, what? He's coming and he's going to be executed? Now, verse 7. And he, this is another he, this is not the Messiah the Prince, because it doesn't talk about Messiah the Prince. It says, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. There's that dangling week, right? We've had the 69 weeks, and then the after the 69 weeks, and then we're talking about he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. The many is a reference to Israel. And he, we'll find out later as we go through, and particularly with the New Testament scriptures in our hand, we'll find out that the he is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to make a firm covenant with Israel, and he's going to do that for 1 week, the last week. Amber.
Could you back up and go to 6? Because I think it skipped ahead while you were talking, and we didn't get through that one.
Ah, you're right. I think I did skip ahead. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, and the people of the prince who is to come, this prince who is to come is the Antichrist. So he's talking about this is the crucifixion, and he says, and the next thing, and there's no time in here, there's no time element, it just says the next thing that's going to happen is the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So Israel's going to get destroyed again, and it's going to happen after the crucifixion. So those of you who are historians, tell me, when did that happen?
70.
A.D. 70. In A.D. 70, Titus came through and absolutely leveled Jerusalem. He destroyed the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. And that's a term that is Jewish in nature. Actually, when Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem back there in Daniel chapter 1, it says he came in and he overran Jerusalem like a flood. Conquerors of old came in, they just literally sent their armies in and they just wiped everybody out. I mean, it was like being caught up in a flood. It was like being, oh, here comes the water, and it just overflows. And that's what this is describing, I believe. Its end will come, and this can be translated as like a flood instead of with a flood. And even to the end, there will be war. And desolations are determined, and all God's people said, oh yeah, I've seen that, since A.D. 70 up to the year 2017, have we seen for Israel, have we seen anything but that? No. I mean, it is absolutely, this is as relevant to today as it gets. They are living in, there will be war, desolations are determined. And he, that is the prince who is to come, he, the Antichrist, is going to make a firm covenant with the many, Israel, for 1 week. That's the last week. Everybody got it? Okay. But in the middle of that week, times and half a time, in the middle of that week, he is going to what?
Stop.
He's going to put a stop to sacrifice. So what does that tell you is going to be happening in the temple in the first half of this week?
They're going to
reestablish the sacrificial system. They're going to be reestablished. So everybody look at that and said, well, okay, then the Jews have to have control of Jerusalem. which probably ties to the May 28, 48 date. And they also have control of the temple. And the Antichrist is going to come in, put his arm around them, and say, I'm going to protect you for this next week. I'm going to protect you. The Arabs will not harm you. I will protect you. And then, in the middle of that week, he says, I'm going to do it for a whole week. In the middle of that week, what does he do? His true colors come out. He puts a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. That language is very difficult, but basically it translates to this. The wing of abominations is a Jewish term, and it's a Jewish term that refers to the highest pinnacle of the temple. The very high. They would call that the wing of the temple. So this says the wing of abominations will come. So what that is describing is that the temple is going to be totally filled with abominations from the pinnacle all the way down. That's what the language is suggesting. And it will come with the one who makes desolate. And who is that? That's the Antichrist. He is the one who makes desolate. And then here's the completion of the 70 weeks prophecy. He will make it desolate. And when did it start? In the middle of the last week. And he will make it desolate until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. And all God's people said, that's it. That's the end. So there is coming complete destruction on the one that, from the one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. And who is the one who makes desolate? The Antichrist. He's back here. But what is his end? His end is that he's going to be destroyed. Have you noticed that this covers the whole thing? From Daniel's day all the way to the end in four verses? And all God's people said, wow, no wonder these four verses are so important. No wonder everybody struggles with these verses and wants to totally understand and apply them today. So, from that, we're going to... I gave you this as a handout. This is a chart that shows these things. And we're out of time here this morning, so I won't impose on you. But if you look at this chart and compare it with what we just went through, as we go along, it'll show each one of these as a section. This is where Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem. This is where Daniel starts, Daniel chapter 1. And then the next part of it shows where Daniel prays. This is where the 70 weeks prophecy is given. And this is 70 years that he was talking about from Jeremiah. And then there's an interval of time before that actual command goes out. It turns out that it's about 90 years, give or take, after Daniel gives that. Daniel dies during that interval. The command is issued. And the 70 weeks begins, and we're going to take, and then I'm going to take this week, this section here, and expand that out and give you a breakdown on all that. The thing that overrides this whole thing is all during this time, Israel's history continues, and if you look in the Old Testament, they repent for a while, and then they're back. And then they repent for a while, and then they're back. And it's just a continuous cycle with that, with brief restorations, and it will never stop that cycle until what? Until the Messiah comes. And so this prophecy that Daniel was given by the angel Gabriel is extraordinarily important. When we use this It's like a lock and a key with the book of the Revelation. You cannot understand the book of the Revelation if you do not understand this, and vice versa. To fully grasp the two, you've got to have one open on this side of your Bible and one open on this side and compare the two. And we're going to try to do that for you and do that in chart form over the next couple weeks. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you, because if you take it piece by piece, step by step, it is very logical, very sequential, and very enlightening. And I hope you'll study ahead. And if you want to see this chart in PowerPoint form, if you have PowerPoint on your computer, I've posted this on the website so you can get it there. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for you and your word. What a privilege to look at these prophetic events that you, by your grace, unfolded to Daniel. You gave them to him, he gave them to us, and the Spirit of God superintends over all of it, so it's absolutely without error. We pray that as we go through the next days and weeks, as we continue to study this prophecy, we would be so encouraged as we see what's happening. We may not like the wars and the desolations, but we know that at the end of that, Israel's going to be restored. The Messiah is coming back. We're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. So for those who have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, it is a privilege and an exciting thing to study these scriptures. Lord, thank you that we know the end of the book. May you energize us in the days and weeks ahead, that should you tarry, help us to be faithful in presenting you to an unsaved world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before you leave, I'd like to give each of you one of these. This has Sandy Wright's picture on the front, but it's not a photograph of her family, okay? It is a brochure that will tell you what's coming in our church and what the cost estimates are, what the facilities are to look like. So each one of you that plan to give or thinking about giving,